My name is Dr. Barbara Bass. I'm the recent or the immediate past president of this college, but have also in this last year had the chance to learn a whole lot more about the initiatives of the college relative to global surgery, and of course to realize that as the rest of the world does, the world is getting smaller, and all of us have a place in trying to support the development of access to timely, safe, efficient, quality surgical care as a great, fundamental aspect of healthcare. It's really bubbled up to the surface in a more visible way on the national in the international platform, I would say, over these last 5 years, with the many initiatives we're all aware of in the global surgical, the global health community, and yet there's still a whole lot of unmet needs. And one of the things that we are going to do this morning is to have several of our surgeons from around the globe to tell us particularly about the hardship and the challenges associated with lower middle and under-resourced communities relative to delivering surgical care, surgical training, all those elements that contribute to care of the surgical patient. Dr. Dorek Asgadis is actually an authentic participant in this world. I am a relative newcomer to focusing on this issue as part of my activities in the college and personally and professionally. But I think that we have some real engaged leaders here, and we look forward to their presentations and ideally a time afterwards to speak as well. I can say the college is committed to finding its greater voice in this greater participation, figuring out ways to support surgeons that want to participate, figuring out how we partner with these different communities to help with what resources and talents we have to optimize the development of these issues. So, why don't we begin? You want to start with this, Dr.?
First, wanted to thank Dr. Bass for supporting the Global Surgery Initiatives through the college, and also to the program committee for having us have this panel session. I see a lot of global surgery enthusiasts and experts in the audience, so we're hoping for a vibrant discussion, and we're really excited about the broad geographic representation globally that we're going to hear about this morning. But I want to let our panelists really talk. So I want to introduce us. It's an honor to introduce our first panelist, Professor Pankajani from COSEXA, if you want to come up. He's the president of COSEXA. As many of you know, many of you who have worked in that region know him very well. He's been in practice for over 30 years. He's at the University of Nairobi. He has his FRCS from the Royal College of Surgeons of England, and he's the former chair of the Gastro Society of Kenya. And he's going to talk to us about the East Africa perspective. And as we walked in this morning, he said, were you planning this to be a Nobel speech? Because this is a very big topic that you've assigned us. So, and I just said, you're the expert, so we'll have to hear what your thoughts are. So thank you very much.
Good morning, Dr. Barbara Bass, Baruch, friends, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. It's my honor to be here this morning and share with you my experience over the last 25, 30 years of what we've been doing. I've changed the title a bit to overcoming challenges, so we need to overcome the challenges. Exploiting opportunities to develop surgical care in our local setting. Next, please. Do I advance them from here?
You can do it, yes.
This one? Okay. So I'm going to set the ground going with a few slides on what most of you may know. I'm going to talk about COSEXA, the College of Surgeons, East Central Southern Africa. We started thinking about it in 1996. That's my teachers, formed it in 1999. It's a disruptive, innovative model, we think, about training surgeons. Second largest surgical college in Africa, and the widest area of training covered in Africa. Where do I point this, sorry? Okay, that's the one. Good. So COSEXA stands for the College of Surgeons, East Central Southern Africa. We have 12 member countries at the present moment. We have more than 400 trainees in 17 countries in Africa. We cover a population of about 500 million people. Because of its success, there are 7 other countries that have joined us. They're satellite countries, and they extend from Cameroon in the north to Namibia in the south, and we're training surgeons in all of them. Our impact at the present moment, over the last 15 years, we've trained 261 surgeons. These are general surgeons mainly. And last year, we qualified 55. The total number of surgeons in the 10 countries up to 2016 were 2,400 surgeons. We have trained or have been training 711. So the impact on the ground is we have 33% of the surgical work done in the EXA region is by COSEXA trainees or COSEXA surgeons as of today. 50% of all surgical trainees are in the EXA region are COSEXA trainees. So we look at the numbers in the universities who are training. If you look at the number of operations, these are ballpark figures. Our trainees, 450, our surgeons, 260. We do about 120,000 operations. These are logged on an e-logbook platform. And by 2020, we target 25,000 operations to be done per year. What are we actually getting into? A real general surgeon. A general surgeon who can perform emergency essential surgery, management of open fractures, a bit of orthopedics, basic orthopedics, OBGYN, neurosurgery, plastic surgery, also some anesthesia. This is Kenya. I'm just setting the groundwork for my thing. You look at the population density map, the dark brown is where the population density is. We've cited 14 hospitals there for training. We've applied for accreditation of 12 more. We think 8 of those are being accredited as we talk today. We're trying to set up training centers there. 80% of hospitals in Kenya do not have a full-time surgeon. The surgery is provided by doctors or medical officers. And 90% do not have anesthetists. 80% also do not have OBGYNs, and this cesarean sections and all that is done by medical officers in Kenya. This example is one of the best countries in that region at the present moment, and I'm giving you those figures because of that. So we have 257 district hospitals. My target is to train 771 surgeons in the next 10 years so that each district hospital will have 3 true general surgeons working in them. We're also targeting the 10 countries. Our figures for Zambia here, 255 surgeons required. Malawi, 84 surgeons required. And this is what we are aiming for. Because of the success of COSEXA, we have 7 other colleges that have formed. We're concentrating on anesthesia and gynecology, and these will start training soon. What are the challenges and what are the solutions? According to me, these are my personal opinion. This is not the opinion of the college. Advocacy, which is intense and sustained, still remains our big challenge. Leadership, which is appropriate, top level and focused, is a big challenge. Quality, I couldn't say more about quality. Creating systems and supporting them is a huge challenge. And funding, which is to scale, long-term and sustained. But we're going to talk about this a bit in detail. So when we talk about advocacy, I was in Geneva 2015 trying to advocate for surgery to be included, and fortunately we succeeded in including emergency and essential surgery in the universal health coverage. Since then, what have we achieved? I think we have surgical organizations, the Global Four Alliance. I'm the vice chair of the board of the G4 Alliance. We have the SES, we have the ISS. We discussed this yesterday. Everybody is talking with a different voice. We're not talking about surgery. The pediatric surgeons are talking about pediatric surgery. The trauma surgeons are talking about trauma surgery. We need to put surgery on the global map, and we need to advocate for surgery. The collegiate model, as I'm presenting to you, or what I presented to you earlier, is a huge training success in Africa, I feel. And we need to look at the next step of quality. And intense and persistent advocacy is required because we are not everywhere in Africa. For advocacy, we need to talk of surgery as preventive and promotive, rather than a therapeutic model of care. We need to talk to the policymakers, the funders, to position surgery as promotive care. Investment in surgery will enhance whole healthcare systems. You know, it's dawned on us late that if you improve surgery at a hospital, the whole ecosystem of that hospital improves. Surgery prevents disability, transforms disability into ability. Those are some of the message. The lingo keeps on changing. At the present moment, when I talk to a hospital in LA, they're saying you don't talk about eradication, poverty, or this or that. You talk about enabling the human being or enabling the Wananchi to improve. So what is the expected impact if we do this? Surgery will be recognized as an important part of healthcare, and investment in surgery will promote health for all. Coming to the challenges, surgeons are not agreed on the priority set of evidence-based interventions and approaches. We in COSEX are training surgeons. We feel it's a good thing, but do we have evidence-based that this model of training is the correct one? So we don't stop the car, as somebody mentioned yesterday, to change the oil. The car is going to keep on going, but we need to see how we service it. So develop and align evidence-based guidelines, standards, and protocols as to what works, what doesn't work. We may have a baseline, but it will vary contextually, but we need the baseline. We need to research and learn what really works and what is cost-effective and achieve high impact in low-resource settings. This is the important thing. We need high impact in low-resource settings because you don't have all the resources in the world. I'll come to resources later on. Operations model like COSEXAS is a successful model, okay? We have patients there. We don't need simulation labs. We need technologically assisted training with basic skills labs. And we need to see what is appropriate task shifting in the context. So if we follow this, evidence-based surgery will drive increased impact. That's what we need. This is a photograph of mine 5 years ago. I like to blow my trumpet, those guys who know me. Right, this is with the Minister of Health in Kenya and appointed a task force. This is Cicely Kariuki. We are handing over the report, the draft report of increasing medical specialists in Kenya. So we believe that we've succeeded in impressing upon the minister that Kenya should follow this path. And that's why 22 hospitals are being accredited at the present moment, as I said. The CS has in Kenya has two task forces. One is to increase the number of specialists, and the other one is to formulate a national plan. You would want to formulate a national plan that comes from the ministry downwards and not going upwards. They've committed funding, I'll show you that. 97 hospitals fully equipped to perform surgery. This is the MES program by GE, I'll come to that later on. Invested $420 million, 97 hospitals all across the country, concentrating on district hospitals basically. We have 20 hospitals at which we can train 55 surgeons. We plan to roll this out full swing. At the present moment, we have about 36 in training, but from next year, full swing. We're looking at the gynecologist and the anesthetist to join us because without them, it's a problem. Surgical community is still fragmented by specialities and subspecialities. We need leadership in this area. As I mentioned, the trauma surgeons are talking their language, the pediatric surgeons are their language, but we need to bring all of them together. Generalists, specialists, as well as the donors, governments, UN agencies in regular global meetings, similar to, this has been achieved before, by Women Deliver. And currently, surgical specialties are competing amongst themselves to improve their own agenda rather than talk of surgery. There is no single meeting where all leaders of surgical education disciplines advocate together. What will this impact have? Common agenda and increased funding to improve access to surgery, periodic reinvigoration. This is what I'm referring to. If you look at, I'm sorry about the size of this, but in Kenya, we got the program directors and the trainers program at Mater Hospital on the 10th of November. The dates are the other way around. We put the date before and the month later. You'll notice we've got the orthopedic surgeons there, the plastic surgeons there, the pediatric surgeons there, the neurosurgeons there. What we're trying to do is trying to tell them, friends, take over the training of our general surgeons in your area from your angle and train these people. So this is what we're getting into. Significant human resource shortage exists in that area, as I've shown. You know the 85-15% rule. 85% of surgeons in most countries in sub-Saharan Africa serve 15% of the population in urban areas. We need to increase the efficiency of creating a surgical workforce and human resource management. You need to manage this resource. We need to see who will do what. Apply whole market approaches, including models as, you know, the Aravind model of eye care system, which is high volume, low cost for rural surgery. And we need to impress that each surgeon in the African subcontinent undergoes some sort of rural training. We will reduce the unmet surgical need by 25% if we get into this thing. Quality, now I couldn't emphasize quality more. This includes everything. I could give a whole lecture on this, but I think initial training, we are concentrating on quality with a trainer-trainee ratio that is acceptable at the present moment. In the universities, this has died down. You have one trainer to about 30 trainees and you don't know who's doing what. This is the university model in Africa. So maintaining quality is also a big issue. Poor systems, supplies, surroundings decrease quality. We need to look at these factors. Monetary incentives, we have realized, are short-lasting. But quality really needs to look at, including ethics, integrity, and things like that. Overall, we need to improve the culture of surgery as we move ahead. Challenges, the surgical ecosystem creation. I mentioned the Kenya Managed Equipment Service funding. This is the 97 hospitals equipped for surgery. Present the economic value of surgery. Conduct economic analysis. We don't do that. We're surgeons. We don't believe in this. We don't know this. But we need to get the players on the ground and say, conduct an economic demonstrate our research on return on investment. And document the impact on productivity and economic gain. If we do that, investing in surgery will be seen as economically viable. So funding, nobody in this world will come and fund the whole surgical system in a country. Kenya had to put in $420 million itself, and then the others will come and fund. What we are suggesting is small amounts of sustained funding required to boost quality there, a system there, some supply chain element there. This is what we are talking about. Local human resource should be supported in the correct context. Set up basic surgical skills lab. You can't set up a simulation center which is going to cost you $20-30 million. It is not feasible. But local basic surgical skills lab will take us a long way in rating basic surgical skills. Trainee rotations to center of excellence, expert local surgeon rotations. This is what we are starting in Kenya. And this is what we are trying to see if it's going to improve. What will this? Government funding takes too long to come. But if we advocate with persistent advocacy, it does come. Strengthen the existing surgical ventures. My plea to all of you, in East Central and Southern Africa, I think COSEX has a proven model. Please, please do not employ a surgeon to do administrative work. Any outside surgical effort in the region should be with an involvement of the COSEX Council. We're seeing this happening every day. Thank you.